We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Reish Tes Vav. The Magen Midovna had been discussing that a person can uproot the weeds in his heart and focus his love and his desire for the things that are correct. And he says, Hashem gave us free will. It's a part of our life, and it's what differentiates us from all the other creatures in the world. And Hashem says, I've given you a tool. Look at all the other creatures in the world. They go in line with what I set up for them. They don't see the sun rising out of the west. The sun keeps rising out of the east, right? So Hashem says, I've given you a tool. Don't use it for the wrong purposes. Use it for the right purposes. Go learn from all the other creatures on the planet. They maintain their course. You should as well. I'm listening.
Because people don't, that's not the course that people feel like taking.
Oh,
they do
so
what
he
they
says.
Feel like. They do their instincts. Why can't we can't do our instincts? He's telling us not to do
He's saying, we were given that tool. We should realize it's a tool to be used for good. Yeah, you have free choice. Now you can go in either direction with that free choice. He says, well, that's exactly his point. Don't look at free will. That's what we said. We tend to think of it as, there's me, and then there's my intelligence. There's me, and then there's my responsibilities. But it begins with me, as in what I want, what I desire, what I, my most mundane instincts, my most animalistic instincts and tendencies. Comes the Magen Midovna and says, no, you are an intelligent creature. You are a creature who can align himself and are naturally aligned with Hashem. Hashem gave you a tool. He gave you a tool which requires strength to use correctly. That's right. That tool of free choice, given to its own whims, is going to go in the wrong direction. But it's a tool, and part of the idea is contend with it, and then you merit. You have a right to the blessings you get in this world, in the world to come as well. But use it. Realize that it's a tool. You're right. That's not the way we ordinarily think. Ordinarily we think, what do you want? Ask a person what he is. So he'll describe his desires. Desires and dreams, where the dreams are like way out there, and desires are right here and now and real in life. And everything in between is, say that those are the things I contend with. And the Magen Midovna has been developing this idea. We have to realize, we have to work on ourselves so that our intellect is one with ourselves. Our responsibilities are one with ourselves. And then that free choice that we have to do things which are improper, well, those things are external. We said that every person has thoughts and desires that he's very thankful that no one else knows but himself. And we said at the end of the day, that's not who we are. That's our weakness. That's our capacity to be someone else. To be what we don't want to be. What we ourselves know is wrong. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the potential to go there. We have that. We do have those desires, but We should put our responsibilities and our morality and our connection to Hashem in the driver's seat. And he's saying, so realize that that free choice is a tool that Hashem gave you. And just as the animal uses all its tools to go in line with the course Hashem set for it, so too we should use that tool. And that's part of the genius in this section, that he takes the free will and he says it's a tool. Instead of that being who I am, he says that's a component, that's a tool you were given, use it correctly. So what discerns between man and all the other creatures? So that's if you, the free choice, and the free choice to do things that are right. You don't find the lion saying, I won't devour that man because he has to daven shachris right now. If he's hungry, he eats you, and if he isn't, he doesn't. And it has nothing to do with whether logically he deserves to live. He's a nice man. That's not the point. Yeah.
So it seems as though the creation is set up in such a way that animals follow their natural instincts. Man is created with natural instincts as well. But on top of that, beyond the creatures are given, because creatures don't have free will. So we have the free will, but to go against our natural instincts.
No, to direct them.
I would like to maybe take what you just said and then review what we saw until now, and it'll seem now, in light of what you said, I myself understand his order better, the order he set things up. So it was suggested that we have our instincts, and our free will was given to us as the tool to overcome our instincts. Let's go back a chapter or two. The Magid Midovna had said, we have mitzvot that seem unnatural. We have a mitzvah to be holy, we have a mitzvah to love Hashem. How are you holy and love Hashem? What seems most natural is the exact opposite, not to be unholy, to be distant from Hashem. Along came the Magid Midovna and said, no. Deep down inside, if you take a person at his core, it's natural for him to be holy and love Hashem. But Hashem created a world with distractions and attractions. There are things out there that seduce us. And they seduce us to leave what's natural for us. So it's natural to be seduced. It's natural to be enticed. But it's also natural, and at the core of the human being, it is natural for him to be in line with Hashem, to be a holy person and a person that loves Hashem. The issue is, they say you never saw a lion that needs to go on a diet. It eats what it needs to eat. A baby that's nursing, that does exactly what it needs to do. It doesn't get overweight from nursing. What happens? You start giving him formula that's sweet, and you give him other things. Okay, so then he goes out of nature, and then he is attracted, and he does other things that are harmful to himself. We're in this world where if we go in line with our spiritual nature, so then we could be holy, and we could love Hashem, and that free will gives us the capacity to contend with the challenges and keep growing and become giants. It also gives us the capacity to go the other way. I don't think it's fair to say, although I would have said it had I not seen the Magid Midovna, but I think he's developing the thought that it's not my free will versus my nature. It's my free will to go with that aspect of my nature, to be a holy person. But to be a holy person is also my nature. Are you with me?
If the animal's hungry, it feeds. If it wants to procreate, it procreates. It doesn't say, am I doing the right thing? It just follows its natural instincts. Mankind has the same instincts. I'm hungry, I want to eat, I'm going to procreate. It doesn't, so it seems that this free will comes to take us in a different direction than our basic creation is. So our basic physical creation wants to follow our instincts, just like the animal people.
So the question is a human being somewhat related to an animal?
Or are we basically an animal with intellect?
So the Rambam writes in a few places that we're not. The Rambam writes the human being is a separate kingdom. We're not a part of an animal kingdom. The Rambam writes, you don't say we don't eat human beings because they don't have split hoofs and chew their cud. You do not say that. We're not a part of that kingdom. So we can become like an animal. But we're not really a part of that kingdom. A human being is a separate species. The Rambam writes it in Shmona Prakam. The Rambam writes it in Machalot Asuot. He writes it both in a philosophical work and in a halachic work. So I'm just saying, yes, we have our animalistic tendencies, and intellect is there to hone them, to apply them correctly. But what the Magid Midovna had said earlier is that it's also within our nature to be holy people. So it's not that we're fighting our nature, it's that we're honing one aspect of our nature and thereby developing a different aspect of our nature. And I think that's an important point, because it's not an ongoing struggle to tame the beast. It's an ongoing struggle to hone the beast and develop that which is holy within us. Whereas if we view it the other way, then I'm constantly fighting against my nature. That's a very hard thing to, even conceptually, it's a hard thing. If I view it, I think that the Torah gives us the balance. Eat, enjoy, make a bracha. Don't be a glutton. There's that balance which goes perfectly in line with our nature. It doesn't feel like it, because right now I want to eat 50 hamburgers. I don't want to eat only one or two. doesn't feel like it because I want to marry 50 women. I don't want to limit myself to only one. In every area, I don't want to eat only kosher. I want to eat the milk right after the meat or the cheeseburger. It doesn't feel like it. But in truth, if you could take a step back, then you start appreciating how balanced it is. And I think that's key over here. That the holiness is, it's not foreign to us. It's a part of us. And if you think about it, this is a marked difference between what we're saying and what other people say. And it's an important difference. We don't say everything materialistic is bad. I think it's important to say a story that happened with Benjamin Disraeli. He was sitting at a political affair, and there was a priest sitting and they realized that he eats kosher, so they put a barrier, like a wall, like a mechitza, between him and the other politicians. And there are two stories. We'll skip that one, because the other one is the more relevant one. So he was sitting at the table, and the priest is eating pork. And he says, "Mr. Disraeli, have some pork." So he says, "Sir, you for sure you know I'm Jewish, and Jews aren't allowed to eat pork." So the priest takes a bite of the pork, and he says, "What a pity, it's delicious." He continues eating, smiling and laughing. And at the end of the meal, as they get up to leave, so Mr. Disraeli tells him, "Sir, send regards to your wife and kids." So he turns to him and he says, "Mr. Disraeli, you must know I'm a priest. We can't get married, we don't have kids." So Mr. Disraeli looks at him and says, "What a pity. It's delicious." So, the Torah doesn't tell us we shouldn't do things that are delicious. The Torah tells us to do them in a balanced way. And on the contrary, to enjoy life, but enjoy it properly. And this idea that holiness is something that's intrinsic to us, that the sin is just, you got carried away. But at the end of the day, at the core, we are holy people, and to be holy and good and kind and to be connected with our Creator is within our nature. I think that's beautiful. And in light of what you said, I realize how important that point is, because otherwise we would understand this chapter the way you said. Aval b'chol asher imcha mitzuveh tiyeh kachad mehim shelo la'alot al ruchacha shum chefetz. The Maimiduvna says there is an area that I want you to be like them, like the other creatures. You don't find a turtle climbing up to a restaurant and saying, "What's for lunch? I want to have a bagel with lox." What?
You're for lunch.
You're for lunch. So there are areas which just don't interest the animal kingdom, because it's not relevant to them. And so the Magen Midovna says, you should be able to look at the world and say, "What does that have to do with me?" You guys know it says in Avos Rabbi Nosson that at one point the Roman emperor wanted to seduce Rabbi Akiva. So he put Rabbi Akiva in prison, he put him in a room, and he hired two women of ill repute to come and seduce him. So all night long they're trying, and Rabbi Akiva spends the night spitting to his right and spitting to his left. So in the morning they come to the king and they say, "You put us in a room with a man that's not human." So he calls in Rabbi Akiva and he asks Rabbi Akiva, "Are you not human? Don't you have desires like the rest of us?" So Rabbi Akiva said, "Sure I am." So the king says, "Well, what was wrong with the two women I sent you?" So Rabbi Akiva said, "What can you do? To me they smelled like two carcasses. I was just disgusted." So that's Rabbi Akiva. On his level, he's in a situation where he looks at them and, "What do you guys have to do with me? It's two pieces of sour meat. It's there's nothing. Don't touch me." That's Rabbi Akiva. Says the Magen Midovna, we should work to get to a level where we view certain things and we say, "What's that got to do with me? That's not relevant to me." If it's not relevant to me, so it shouldn't be relevant to me. The problem is that we start thinking, "Hey, that could be relevant to me." No, comes the Magen Midovna and says, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking out the weeds, we're focusing on what's important in life, And then those things are, they fall by the wayside. Aval binyanei avodat Hashem asher tzivcha Elokim lemor zot aseh. Now, until now he was dealing with getting rid of the weeds. He said, you want to love Hashem, you got to get rid of the weeds. You got to remove all those other attractions. But when it comes to the service of Hashem, Hashem tells you, this is what I do want you to do. Ava'er lecha mishpat ha'ava v'simaneh. There I'll teach you how that love of Hashem works. What are the signs of that love? Leman lo yaleh levavcha lemor marbeta lavi midei avoda ruya loved Hashem. So that you shouldn't start thinking, gee, there's too much to do here. This is beyond what a person can do. And then you yourself will analyze, how does a person who is beloved, how should he treat he who loves him? What's the proper treatment? And so we're going to work our way now into the next stage of Shaar Ahava, Bezrat Hashem, with the beginning of the 13th chapter that we'll see Bezrat Hashem next time.